Hello, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Steve Young. I'm bringing you another installment of the Strategic Planning for Business Owner podcast. I am a wealth advisor for UBS based out of Indianapolis. I run a team called the Business Transition Consulting Group. And if you're a follower of my podcast, you know we speak about a lot of different relevant topics that relate to owners of closely held businesses, whether they be small business or middle market companies. The majority of our work involves exit planning strategies for business owners and the post-liquidity wealth management as a result of that transition. However, sometimes when we speak with owners, they're not ready to exit their company, so we look for opportunities to add value while they're still running and growing their businesses. In keeping with that theme, I've asked Leif Springer from our UBS Institutional Consulting Group to join us today. Leif is a senior retirement plan consultant, and we're going to have a lively conversation around the topic of retirement plans, how they fit into a strategy for business owners and their employees, and some things to be thinking about. So without further ado, let me go ahead and welcome you, Leif. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Really glad to have you here. Hey, I gave a little bit of an introduction about you, but before we begin with some of the more relevant topics, would you mind just giving the listeners a little background about yourself, your team, and how you got into this business?
Sure thing. So I started in this business the summer before 9/11 as an intern on Wall Street on a bond trading desk in a pretty deep recession. And I ended up going to the retail side as a financial advisor in the Morgan Stanley training program. That's a pretty tough job in your early 20s. So I moved over to mutual fund distribution with John Hancock up in Boston. And when the financial crisis hit, they basically cut about half their staff there. The one area that was growing was the 401k retirement plan side. So they asked me to start an inside sales desk there in Boston and cover some mid-Atlantic territory where I work now. So over the course of that 10 years or so with John Hancock, we sold a lot of small plans. We entered the mid and large 401k and defined benefit market when we bought New York Life Retirement. So I basically was responsible for the sales and service experience from Pennsylvania down to North Carolina for 401k, defined benefit, and non-qualified deferred comp, which they call total retirement resource outsourcing. So the nice thing about that was I got to partner with a lot of the top consulting and financial advising shops in that role. And as luck would have it, my current team now at UBS was my client for that whole 10 years. So I talked to Sandy, our founding practice member, and she basically said, I'm having a tough time hiring my eventual successor. So I raised my hand and I said, that sounds like a great opportunity. And we had overlapping skill sets. So I've been doing this now as her partner for the past 4 years.
That's a fantastic story. I appreciate you sharing that. As we get into the conversation, I know there's been a number of developments in the retirement world. Do you mind just kind of touching briefly on some of the emerging trends you're seeing?
Sure. So I would say things really started to change back in 06, which was the Pension Protection Act, which basically created fee transparency in retirement plans for the first time. So that really started to drive fees and revenue down for these providers and caused a lot of industry consolidation. So there's about a third of the providers today that there were just 10 years ago. And they really need to have scale to make these massive investments in technology as they're making this transition to digital and automation and cybersecurity. It's like over $100 million spent every year just for technology. There's also been this move to offer financial wellness resources alongside the retirement saving picture, which really expands the tools to things like emergency savings, student loan debt, budgeting, and insurance to really help the workforce get a handle on their financial situation. And then finally, there's an ongoing trend from generalists or brokers to specialists or fiduciary plan advisors like myself. So that's ongoing, where it's about half and half now. Half plans are still with the, you know, the old broker model, and half have moved over to this new fiduciary consulting arrangement that we like.
So you basically used the term I was going to ask you about, the fiduciary versus non-fiduciary. I heard a lot of conversation about that. And sometimes when I'm talking to business owners, they don't really understand the position they're put in when they have a plan in place and this whole concept about personal liability. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. So it's similar to the respect where a fiduciary plan advisor or consultant is legally bound to work in the best interest of the client and avoid conflicts of interest. In a similar way, a business owner, when they decide to offer a retirement plan, of course, they don't have to, but once they do, it means that they're also a fiduciary and they have a duty of loyalty to the participants, which are their employees. They also have to act prudently or hire experts. They must offer a diversified investment menu with reasonable costs. And then last but not least, they have to follow their plan document. So when we say the business owner has personal liability, it's not so much a risk of going to jail. It's more the very real risk of potentially very high fines, which go beyond the business and follow them to their, you know, individual savings account.
So is there a way that they can actually eliminate that risk or by transferring some of the responsibility to a third party, or is that risk always going to be kind of in the background there?
So ultimately, they are responsible for any providers that they hire, but it's possible today to nearly eliminate all of that risk by delegating it to different providers. So we can get into that more later if you want to.
Okay, very good. I've heard you speak before, Leif, and I know you talk about the different phases of the business life cycle. And as companies emerge from startup to maturity, there's some different considerations they should be thinking about. There's different plans that fit the different parts of that life cycle. Can you talk a little bit about that for our listeners today?
Sure thing. So part of what makes consulting on retirement plans challenging is there really isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. So just to paint some broad strokes, in the early stage of a business, you really want a retirement plan that's turnkey, where you can eliminate as much of that risk we just talked about and the work that goes along with the plan. You definitely want something that's easy at a reasonable cost that's not going to create headaches for you or your team. Once the business is profitable and you have owners and key employees who are looking for strategies to shield more earnings from taxes, that's where it makes sense to look at a more advanced profit-sharing design along with the 401k and potentially adding a cash balance plan as well, assuming the company isn't growing like crazy in terms of headcount. So if the business is going to stay around like 10 or 15 employees, the cash balance plan might make sense. It's worth mentioning one of our key partners is called a third-party administrator or TPA. They can really help us design these plans and make sure that they're accomplishing the goals of the owners and the key employees. Once the company grows to over 50 employees, that's where we typically recommend moving to what's called a bundled 401k model, where the record keeping or the software are together with the administration with one provider, just to make it easier and run smoother. And then also at that point, it's a shift in priority usually, where the owner is more looking to design this plan in concert with their HR team to attract and retain talent. The employee experience becomes a lot more important, so we want to make sure we have the right technology in place. This is where we start talking about that financial wellness idea and the education strategy for the workforce. So we really help consult with the business owner to make sure they have the right providers and technology stack to make all of this run smoothly. And then once you have a mature business, this is where you typically start to look at non-qualified plans alongside your qualified 401k plan, because your top talent are probably already fully vested in the profit sharing plan. And you're looking for ways to retain that group. So this is the type of plan where you can really pick and choose who you want to reward, whatever vesting schedule you're looking for. So there's a lot more flexibility there. And then also your plan has probably grown in size. So this is where we really do some benchmarking work and make sure that the costs are reasonable for the growth of the plan, which requires going back to your provider and negotiating those fees. And oftentimes making a change because you might have outgrown the initial provider that you hired as your business was growing.
I'm hearing a lot of talk about a new type of plan called the pooled employer plan. Can you talk a little bit about that, Leif?
Yeah, happy to. So the pooled employer plans just launched in January 1 of this year. So they're very new. That was a result of the Secure Act that passed with bipartisan support through Congress, which is very rare these days, right? So it's a turnkey solution that's typically about half the cost of a standalone 401k plan with nearly identical benefits as far as what you're trying to accomplish. You have one single provider that has full outsourcing capability that creates big time efficiencies and also importantly allows you to outsource that fiduciary liability for the business owner that we're talking about. Because in this case, the pooled employer plan is actually the sponsor of the plan, not the business owner. They're just basically joining as a participating employer. So that responsibility goes away. You have what's called a 316 administrative fiduciary built into this thing. So the business owner or their top finance or HR person are no longer on the hook for approving things like loans and hardships. They don't have to push out any of those required notices to participants. And they don't even have to file or sign an annual 5500 with the IRS, which is great. And then finally, there's also a 338 investment fiduciary. So in the case of the pooled employer plan that we use, UBS steps in with discretion to select the investment menu so the business owner isn't getting involved in that piece. So it's really the best way to outsource all of that risk with the pooled employer plan.
Is there an ideal size company for the pooled employer plan? Is this for more smaller companies or can larger companies take advantage of it as well?
They can technically take advantage of it as well, but I would say it's really geared towards companies with less than 50 employees. It's great for companies that might have a SEP or a simple plan today that are looking for a plan where they can put more money away without the aggravation. But generally speaking, once you're at 50 employees and or 5 million in assets, you'd want to negotiate your own costs and have your own customized investment menu and have that standalone plan.
Makes sense. A few seconds ago, you mentioned another plan that I'm very interested in having our listeners learn more about, and that's the cash balance plan. I know as my team talks to more and more companies about their plans for their employees and also the ability for the owners to take advantage of some additional opportunities, cash balance plans come up in conversation, but it seems like there's not a huge level of adoption out there. And I don't know if that's just my perspective, but can you talk a little bit about a cash balance plan, why that's important, and what are you seeing other people taking advantage of?
Sure. So for the 401k profit sharing idea, there is this annual contribution maximum for this year, $57,000 or $63,500 for folks over 50 years old. So the cash balance plan is a plan that you can add alongside the 401k profit sharing plan that has much higher contribution limits. So we're talking, it depends on age and it actually has to be calculated by an actuary. But these limits can range from $60,000 for a 30-year-old business owner to well over $300,000 for a business owner who's in their late 60s up to 70 years old. So you can really accelerate your retirement savings in a plan like this and potentially get yourself into a lower tax bracket or have some additional tax savings if you're a pass-through with the Trump tax plan. So there's just a lot of things you can do with these. I think the biggest reason that people don't have them is, first of all, like you said, they don't know about it. And then second, they're not really comfortable with the fact that you are more locked into the annual contribution than the 401k profit sharing, which has flexibility year to year. So with the cash balance plan, you really want to have visibility at least 2 or 3 years out of your profits to be able to say that you can make that contribution into the plan. The other reason some people shy away from it is you should have the expectation that along with the money you're putting in for yourself as the owner, you're typically going to be putting in 5 to 10% for your staff as well into their accounts. And when you think about what you're putting in, it's the contribution plus an earnings or interest factor. Most plans that we design use a 4% crediting rate or interest that you have to pay. So that's basically your obligation. You're guaranteeing that your employees will have that benefit. So unlike the 401k, where it's really on them to decide what to put in and what to invest in, with the cash balance plan, that burden shifts over to the business owner, which isn't a bad thing, assuming that you're working with a good actuary, a good TPA, and a good fiduciary plan advisor.
Can a business owner have a cash balance plan without a 401k?
They can, although it's not common. Most of the times we run a combo design just because you typically would want to max out the 401k profit sharing plan first, just because it does have that flexibility. So that's typically what we see.
Okay.
There might be some exceptions to that rule, but yeah, typically we already have a 401k profit sharing plan, and then the cash balance plan comes into play because they're maxing that other plan out.
That makes sense. Another plan type that I've here talked about is the non-qualified deferred comp plan. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Sure. So the non-qualified deferred comp plan, or NQDC, you often see as the acronym, they don't have to follow the qualified plan rules, or ERISA, as that Department of Labor IRS rulebook is known as. So they're a lot easier to set up and administer. There's no annual Form 5500 required. And it really allows a lot more flexibility to owners and key employees, because unlike the 401k or even the cash balance plan that has to cover all the employees, with the non-qualified plan, you have the ability to really pick and choose who you're looking to make eligible for the plan and how you want to reward them and ultimately retain them and retire them. So the nice thing about the non-qualified plan is you can have what's called a rolling vest schedule. So for the contribution you're making for an employee, each year's contribution has its own vesting schedule, which obviously allows you to have this carrot that's constantly moving ahead in time. So you're incentivizing your employee to stay, to get that money, of course. And then from the standpoint of, for the owners themselves, they might want to put the money into this plan as well, because you have the ability to fund it through corporate-owned life insurance, which means that the plan contributions and the earnings grow tax-deferred, and that corporate-owned life insurance that's funding the plan can also double as key person insurance, which allows the business to receive a payout upon policy maturity. So most businesses would want to have key persons, so this is a way to really kill two birds with one stone.
That's a very interesting concept. I didn't even think about the use of life insurance in one of those plans, but that does make a very interesting combination there. You know, as we're recording this podcast, it's the fall of 2021. We've just come off the big pandemic of 2020. Employers are now having a hard time attracting employees. And that's one of the big themes we hear when we talk to a lot of business owners. I can't get enough people to come back to work, or to work for me in general. So, you know, as I'm listening to you talk about these different plans, I start thinking this is really a tool not only just for the retirement of the owner and or the existing employees, but it could be also very valuable when you're trying to attract and retain employment. Do you see that as a contributing factor for taking a harder look at this type of arrangement?
Yeah, I certainly do. And you're right. I mean, we're seeing right now, and this is backed by data, that there's more people quitting their jobs than ever. Most of that energy is around flexibility and potentially working from a different geography. But second, I would say, is the benefit package. And not just from the standpoint of having this unvested money that makes the job stickier, but also from the standpoint of financial wellness. And what I mean by that is, if you're doing a really good job designing these plans where people are saving enough for their retirement, they've got a budget, they're living within their means, they're financially secure, they're less likely to try to jump to another employer for a small raise because they're very comfortable where they're at. They're not looking. They're not wasting the time searching for a different job because they're happy in the one that they have. And a big part of happiness or satisfaction with a job, of course, is the benefits program. So if you can put together a strong retirement plan and financial wellness benefit, I think it goes a very long way to having a satisfied workforce that's going to stick with you and be loyal.
I would agree. Again, as we talk to potential clients and existing clients that are running businesses, almost everybody has a 401k now. And a lot of times they have been created a couple years ago, or maybe a long time ago, and maybe there's been some reviews throughout the term of the 401k, but you know, perhaps there's some inefficiencies inside there. And a lot of these guys and ladies that are running companies are really busy doing what they do, and it's basically running their company, and having all the different nuances about retirement planning can be a little bit overwhelming. So as we talk to business owners as part of our normal course of doing business, and we reflect the conversation towards retirement planning, and we talk about their existing plans, what are some of the things that you would recommend if we happen to have a potential client or an existing client that says, hey, you know, I'm not really sure if my 401k is set up the way it should be, or, you know, our business has grown, our employment has changed a lot over the last couple of years, and maybe we have a profit sharing plan, maybe we don't, maybe we have a cash balance plan, maybe we don't. As a UBS consultant in this environment, what would you suggest to somebody that's got an existing plan? How can we add value in that situation?
Sure. So I think good consulting always starts with a discovery call where you're asking thoughtful questions about the plan or plans they have in place and how they're designed and how they got to where they are today, what their initial thought was, and maybe how their objectives might have changed over time. We want to ask how the plan is actually working. So that's a conversation that goes beyond just the business owner. We want to talk to their team who are actually working with the plan day to day as well, and uncover any pain points that they might have, and then pull together all of the background info. So we need things like the fee disclosure document. We want an annual plan review document from their current provider, which goes into all the plan health statistics that we need to look at in the design. We want to look at a plan level statement to see what their investment menu looks like, and certainly their fees, make sure that they're in the right share class. And we pull all of that data together to run a full benchmarking process where we'll compare their fees, their services that they have, and their plan features against the marketplace for plans of a similar size and industry. And at that point, I think we've had a chance to demonstrate our value and go deeper into our service model in depth, what we can do for them as the business owner and their employees with all of our deliverables that we have to deliver by contract. And then assuming we win the business, if the costs are high or there's issues, we work with them to fix it. We can actually take the plan out to bid to get competitive pricing from other providers and use that as leverage to help the business owner negotiate their costs down with their current provider. If that doesn't work or that doesn't make sense, we can run the project to move to a new retirement plan provider, which is a good opportunity to redo the plan design, you know, remake the investment menu with lower cost funds, and really have an opportunity to get a fresh start, re-enroll everybody, make sure you get in front of the workforce for education meetings and generate some energy and excitement about saving enough for retirement and getting on track. So that's basically the process from the beginning to actually getting into the work that we do.
That sounds very comprehensive. I appreciate you running that down for us. As we prepare to wrap up for today's session, I want to ask you just one final question, and that is, any departing thoughts or comments you want to make to the listeners before we conclude today's podcast?
Sure. Well, first, thank you again for having me today. I think when I think about my consulting role at UBS and what makes it different or why I like it, it's the fact that I get to partner with teams like yours where we work together and offer a business owner or executive team what I think is an unrivaled solution that covers their individual financial planning along with the needs of their business, where we can really do some innovative things with plan design, along with financial education and coaching resources to help their workforce achieve financial security and retire on their own terms. We've had the opportunity to really watch businesses grow from, you know, very small plans to very large plans. A lot of that's related to mergers and acquisitions. And then, of course, help business owners successfully exit. So it's a fun job to work as a team. And I guess it probably goes without saying, we'd be happy to take any business owner through our process and ultimately help them build a stronger retirement plan.
Fantastic, Leif. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And I appreciate your time this morning. We're going to go ahead and wrap up now just for time's sake. And Again, I just want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. This has been a very important and very comprehensive program today. There's a lot more we could talk about, and obviously there's a lot of individual customization that would go along with that. So I would just echo Leif's comments that if you're listening today, you're running a company, you have an existing plan, maybe you need to have somebody take a look at it, you know, feel free to reach out to us. We would love to have that opportunity to discuss with you. We also have a number of accountants and attorneys listening today as well. So if you have clients you're having these conversations with, feel free to reach out to us. Let us be a resource in those opportunities. You can reach me at 317-816-1830 or by email at Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N dot Young, Y-O-U-N-G at UBS.com. I have access to Leif if we need to schedule an opportunity. If we have that chance to schedule a discovery call, we'll get Leif on the phone and have that conversation and see how we could add value. So with that, I'd like to again thank everybody for tuning in today and have a great rest of your day. Thanks.